And now, today's word.
Well, as you know, I've been teaching on the series that I am working on now, and I've titled it The Sacrifice of Praise. And this is part three of Sacrifice of Praise. And my subtitle for part three is Before God's Throne. Before God's Throne. In part one, we looked at the fruit of the lips. In part two, we looked at unto the Lord, our sacrifices unto the Lord. And we go a little further to look at worship and praise and that occurs before the throne of God. And I trust that as we learn, we will be minded to give him the praise that is due to the Lord. Though we live on earth, we are part of a heavenly family. The whole of the Bible is about how heaven and earth come together. Right from the opening page of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has not separated the heavens from the earth. He always wants the heavens and the earth to be in synchrony. Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants earthly life to be a representation of heavenly life, that what happens in heaven is what happens here on earth. And so it is with our praise and with our worship, that what we do here on earth must be a reflection of what happens in heaven. Our worship here on earth is always before God's throne. We do not worship to make ourselves happy here on earth. We worship before God to honor him and before his throne in heaven. And that's what we're going to look at today. And we're going to start from the book of Revelation and chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and I'm going to pick it from verse 2 to 5 in this reading. We would later read another portion of the same chapter. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 to 5. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. I want you to take note that John says he saw this when he was in the Spirit. That means he was aware of the spiritual realm. And it gives us a backdrop to understanding how to really worship before the Lord, that it has to be done in the Spirit and not in the flesh. There is a word which runs throughout this passage that we read and the whole of chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, and that word is throne. Throne. And a throne is a seat of authority and rulership. In the Greek, it is thronos, a seat of authority and rulership. And the word throne occurs in this one chapter. In this one chapter of Revelation chapter 4, the word occurs 14 times in this one chapter. Is the most that that word occurs in any passage of Scripture. So you get the meaning or the significance of it, that the whole of Revelation chapter 4 is about the throne of God. It's about the throne of God and what happens on his throne, what happens around his throne, and what happens from his throne. And that's what Revelation chapter 4 tells us. True worship happens when we catch a glimpse of what happens in the throne of God. And everything happening in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation concerns thrones. So there are three references to throne and activities happening around or on them that I want to draw your attention to. The first one is what is happening on the throne. The passage says that one sat on the throne. God is the one who sits on this throne. He is on his high throne. Passage tells us clearly that God sits on a throne in heaven. It is the highest throne in the universe. And the passage talks about the being who sits on the throne, and it says he's like Sardius, and he's like some other precious stone, and there is a rainbow around the throne, and it's like emerald. Emerald is green in nature. Now, the thing about the book of Revelation is that John has a glimpse of a different realm, and he doesn't have enough earthly language to describe what he's seeing. So there's a lot of allegories, a lot of metaphors, a lot of similes in the book of Revelation. So you see like, and this is like that stone, and the streets are like crystal gold and all of that. It doesn't mean the streets are gold per se, or that the things are these minerals he's talking about. It's just that this is the closest earthly language he can deploy to describe this new reality that he's introduced to. So he's not talking about the minerals, the sardius and the emeralds in reality as in heaven, but he says they are like, and you see a lot of these similes going throughout the book of Revelation. So he says that there is one who sits on the throne who is God, and he tells us how he looks like, and then he tells us how the throne looks like. And I'll come back to that later. The second thing that John talks about is what goes on around the throne. First, he tells us who is sitting on it. He tells us what goes on around, and he says there are elders around the throne. There are elders around the throne. The word elder or elders is from the Greek presbyteros. Presbyteros, if you just listen to it, is where you get the word presbytery or presbyterian from. It's the presbyteros, eldership. And eldership in the basic sense means older people. But in a symbolic sense, it means people of rank and stature. People of rank and stature. So the passage says that God is on his throne, and around his throne are people of rank and stature, or beings of rank and stature. They are presbyteros. They are elders. And the passage says that there are 24 of them. Now, why the number 24 is not explained in the passage, but it is generally believed that they represent the Old Testament and the New Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. So in a sense, it's talking about the totality of the church, the completeness of the church, the totality of the church. So although there are 24 elders, it represents all of us there who are around the throne of God. And the passage says that these elders are wearing white robes, and they have on their heads golden crowns. These are very important. We'll come back to them later. But just take note that there is one who sits on the throne, and then there is something happening around the throne. There are elders around, and these elders are also sitting on thrones. So in all, there are 24 thrones with 24 elders, one throne with God Almighty. That's about 25 thrones represented there. And I'll come back to that too later on and see how all of this work out. And then the third thing that John talks about, he talks about what comes from the throne. And he says there is lightning and thunderings and voices. The word voices means rumblings or sounds. Not voices in terms of human voices, but sounds coming out from the throne. They represent the glory of God coming from God's throne. And in addition, John says that he saw seven lamps representing the seven spirits of God. The book of Revelation can be a bit tricky if you don't know how to interpret it, because then you're going to think, does God have seven spirits? That the word seven is used to represent fullness or perfection. So when it says the seven spirits of God, it says the fullness of God, the fullness of God. So on the throne is God, around his throne are the elders, and proceeding from the throne is the fullness of God coming out of the people. And the interesting thing is that the thunders and the lightnings and the lamps, they are coming as the elders are giving worship, we will find out later on. So these are the things that John describes that he saw. And it teaches us something very important, that true worship is focused on God and his throne. True worship is focused on God and his throne. Not just on God, but his throne is also important. And why do I say that? You know, we have a relationship with God first as our Father. And when we say that God is our Father, we are talking about a relationship we have with him of intimacy. We are close to him. He gave birth to us. He's our Father. And that's one level of relationship, God. But this God is on a throne. That means he's a king. So our Father is a king. Now, many times we know how to relate to God as Father, but we don't know how to relate to him as a king. When we say God is our Father, it means we have a relationship with him. But when we say he is a king, we are saying he owns us. The closest I can come in an earthly way to explain this is something that most of you probably might have noticed when the late Queen of England was alive. She was the Queen of England. Then Prince Charles, who is now King Charles, was his son. Now, Prince Charles had a relationship with the Queen. And I am sure, and I think I've heard him in interviews saying that he calls the Queen Mom. Mom at home. So at home, he says, Mom this and Mom that. And, you know, they just, I'm sure they have fun and they play games and they chat and just the way moms and their kids behave. But in public, he never addresses her as Mom. Because in public, he always says, Her Majesty the Queen. Her Majesty the Queen. Does it mean she's no longer Mom? She's Mom in a personal relationship, but at a higher level, she's the Queen. And he has to know how to separate the two. And that it is with our worship. At a level, God is our Father. He provides for us. We talk to him, oh, Father, we love you. But at another point, he is the King of the universe. And we have to give him the honor of a king. Now, nobody worships their father. When you see God only as Father, there's no worship. It's just relationship. Worship is to the one who owns you. It's to the sovereign. It's to the king. And so John is seeing two things. God, Father, on a throne, king. And so what is happening in heaven is not just about God as Father, but God as king. So every worship service must know God, or every Christian must know God as Father. But beyond that, they must know God as King. And until we get to know God as King, we cannot worship him properly. Because once you know him as King, then what you present to him is important. Now, if he's just your father, you can talk to him, you know, casually. But if he's a king, you have to talk to him in an elevated form. You know, because if you're going to, I mean, we don't have kings in Ghana. The closest we can have probably is the king of the Ashantis. And some people don't want to say that he's a king, but he's king. And whatever, you know, he's king. But he's not an absolute monarch, because we have a constitutional democracy in Ghana. So the king doesn't have absolute power. In other words, he can't even make laws for people. But he's a king. And when people go to the king, they have a language to address him as king. You have to talk to him with a language of protocol. When you are with him privately and he's your friend, you can call, oh, buddy, hey, Charlie, I don't know how. Maybe you have a nickname for him. You can call him by his nickname. But the moment you get out and you are in public, he's king. You can't buddy-buddy with him again. You have to now address him by the protocol. Are you understanding that? Now, that is our relationship with God. In private, as we know him, he's our father. But when we come to worship, he's king. And that means that the protocol of worship must be deployed. And that includes language. It includes expressions that we give to him. Our worship must always be focused on God. You know, because if we don't do that, many times we may think our worship is for our well-being. You know, because sometimes, you know, people say, oh, I went to worship today. And as we worship, the songs were not sweet. The song, they didn't move me. We don't worship for the song to move you. It's not a song for you. It is for God. Are you getting me? So it's not about people say, oh, you know, sometimes in prison, oh, just be happy. Dance. Move your body. Listen, it's not about you separating yourself. It's not about you moving your body. It's not about whether the song is good for you or not. The song is not for you. It's not for your benefit. It's not addressed to you. It is to God. Because sometimes people come and say, I went to church today, but the songs that they were singing, I couldn't flow with it. Is it for you? Is it for you? Are we singing to you? Are you holy? Are you almighty? Is it for you? It's not supposed to move you. It's supposed to move him. It's supposed to touch him. It's supposed to register to him. So when we come, we turn the attention from ourselves and onto the king who sits on his throne. And that is where true worship is. It is towards God. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of praise and worship leaders focus much of what they do to make the people happy. People will leave church and say, today church was powerful. The way I dance. You dance for what? I'm not saying don't dance, but you were not even conscious whom you were dancing for. The way the songs, I was so happy. It's not about your happiness. It's about God. And we'll find out very soon about that. So let's go a little further to Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. Revelation 4, 8 to 11. It says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. I'm not going to comment much on that. There's a reason for that, but that's not my focus today. And they did not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtobi.